This is Donald Hewitt recording H. Clayton Maury on Sunday, April 25th, 1993. Okay.
Now, what do you want me to do?
Well, I thought you might tell me a little about your biographical information, what your, tell me about your parents and your grandparents and what you remember. Start with you and when you were born and where you were born.
Well, I was born August 27th, 1908. And I was born in Torrington, Connecticut. And
did your family live there?
Yep. They went from here to Torrington, and they lived there about 3 or 4 months, and then they moved back to Salisbury, because, well, I guess they didn't like it. The father, he worked in the Union Hardware, and it was different. My mother was a country person, and her father, Bill Frink, or William, he was one of Bill Frink, George Frink, Emery Frink, and well, there was 4 or 5 boys, and they were all in the army together.
That's unusual.
Yeah, they were all, you know, when they went all together. This lieutenant or whatever, that's the way I heard it anyway, says, "What is this outfit? What is this outfit? All Franks?" And, well, anyway. And my mother was born in Norwich, Connecticut. And my father was born in Norwich, New York. And but they were married right here in Salisbury. My birth certificate. And I was born in Torrington. Didn't live there but a few months, and they moved right back up here in Salisbury.
I don't blame them.
No. And so it's on record down there. I went down there when I went after a job or something. They had it down there, and I got it. And they lived here the rest of their life, never moved out of Salisbury. And that's
where did they live?
They lived right in the old homestead of my grandfather's. And well, not right away. My father went to work for Judge Warner down here in Salisbury, a DT. Or DJ, let me see, DT, Donald T. Warner. Yeah, because they always went Donald T., Donald J. And my father worked there all for a good many years, run a farm. He had a farm down here. You know where it is, down across the track in Salisbury, going on the Lime Rock Road. That first house you cross, when you cross the old railroad track bed, that house on the right, we lived there. That was a farmhouse. And he used to have to walk up across the track up to the barns and things. And that land, all except down when the track, there used to be that little pond there on the right, that was a brook run right straight through and run into the brook. We called, the name of that brook was the Riley Brook.
Riley?
Yeah. I called it the, always the name of that brook was the Riley Brook. Because you got the least bit rain, that brook would get Riley. They called it Riley. Riley Brook. Come from Lakeville. And then there was another stream that run in it, which doubled it up. And that was, that where it doubled up was just up south of Dark Hollow. You know where our Dark Hollow is there, in the Dark Hollow Road. And, well, anyway, we lived there for years, and my brother and sister were born there, Art and Nettie, my brother and sister. And my brother, I think, was born in Norfolk. And they moved right back to Salisbury, and we lived in Salisbury all the rest of our life.
This, do you remember your grandparents?
Oh, yes. I remember their name, Bill Frink. Yeah, they were, they were, I got, as a matter of fact, I got a picture of those old soldiers standing in front of the White Church, having their, on Decoration Day. And I knew some of them. I didn't know a lot of them because they come from Lakeville and probably Taconic, and I didn't know them. I knew Charlie Ball, old Charlie Ball, and of course my grandfather. And
what was he like? Do you remember?
Yeah, he was a he had a lot of medals on him that he got when he was in the Army.
And this must have been during what? This is World War One.
Oh, before that. Before that. Between the North and the South.
Wow, that's going back, isn't it?
Yeah. And so he was quite an old gent. He used to come down to the house and see my mother, father. And then I used to go up on weekends a lot and stay with him and my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And I was...
Where was that?
That was right up Locust Avenue. Locust Avenue is right where the Hanging Rock is. That's the name of that street.
Oh.
That's Locust Avenue. And he used to walk along like this. His hand behind, put his finger out there like that, and I used to grab his finger, and he used to walk along, and I'd hang on his finger.
Great, what a marvelous picture.
Yeah, I can remember.
Oh, how old do you think you were?
Oh, I was probably
7 or 8.
Oh, no, not that old. I was about 5 or 6. Very small little fellow. My hair was just as white as snow. And whiter than 'tis now. and we were quite the bunch. We used to go with our father and a man by the name of Ed Ostrander. And they used to go fishing before dark, and there was a big hole up the brook on the now, I've got to think of her name, but I can't think of the name. Well, anyway, they owned that property, and Mr. Pope owns it now up in there. And we used to fish in that hole, and they'd catch trout till after dark. That's when the browns would bite anyway, you know.
Best time.
Yeah.
What did they fish with? They fish with flies, or they fish
no,
with
worms? Just the worms.
Yeah.
And they didn't have, well, they had steel rods. The name of the rods was Bristol rod. They were three-piece rods, Bristol rods. And, I had a pole that my father would cut in the wood. It was ash, and it was a little bit bigger around your finger. And he took these things you hang pictures with in eyes, you know,
mm-hmm.
screwed them in the bottom, drilled a little hole and screwed them in the bottom, and then one just about a quarter of an inch from the tip for the, for the tip. And I can remember fishing with that, and Jesse and I, Earl wasn't no fisherman. Art Net wasn't old enough to fish then. They born right there. And I don't know how many years they'd lived there when they were born. Of course, I was a little fella. But I can remember when we moved out of there, which I didn't want to do. And we...
You didn't want to move, why?
Well, my father went to work for Willard, the Willard farm.
Where's that?
That is right where the... you know where you're going to Canaan? You cross the brook, that in there where all that big development and all them houses is built, that was the old Willard farm.
Uh-huh.
They owned way up into that way. Of course, all that ground and all that side hill and all that was all open land. That was pasture.
That's what I hear all the time.
It was all open land. And down where I live now, where those woods are, was all open land. I could see from my house right down to where Matt Kiefer lives now. Easy to see that farm. And it was beautiful, you know. And yet I had the Moore Brook run right down to Indian Cave, by Indian Cave. Then you had the lake, the brook they call the Lakeville Brook. Now I guess they don't call it the Riley Brook, do they?
I don't know. I can still call it the Riley Brook.
Yeah, and then there was the Frink Brook. They always named some of these brooks, you know, all by some of the farms that it run through.
Hmm.
That's how they got their name. And good fishing. They never stopped. They had brookies this long.
That's about 22 inches you got out there.
Well, that's they was as big as a brown trout.
Mm-hmm.
It was as big as a brown trout.
You don't see those much anymore.
Oh, no. You don't see them at all. And there was a bridge, and everybody walked that trail down by the Indian Cave, which now they have tore those guys that bought the land, tore that bridge out.
And that used to go, then that road on the other side, where did it run? Down to the Lime Rock Road somewhere?
It run right, it come right out, right down by, now I don't know the people that live there, But when you go across the bridge, the first bridge you come to going down the Lime Rock Road, no, the second bridge, first bridge is right there where the Lakeville Brook runs. And the second bridge, and then it's that big place there, tucked back in the corner.
Oh, yes, no. Mm-hmm.
And that was a farm. And that road come right in through there, and it come from Falls Village. And they used to come over that road, and you see there was a drugstore in Salisbury, and I remember when that drugstore was run by a man by the name of Dickerson. That was before Sam Woodbecker or any of them owned it. And they used to come over the mountain to get their opium. Would come in a chunk like that.
What did they use it for?
Dope. Well, it was for...
It was an early Salisbury drug trade.
It wasn't really a dope. It was a medicine that there's doctors subscribed for him, that he used to have consumption or some kind of a sickness. And they'd get that and they'd put it into a little round flat can like Copenhagen snuff comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And they roll it in little pills. Then every once in a while when they got feeling kind of bad and things, they'd take one of them. I don't know if they swallowed it, held it under their tongue, or what. But I had an old fella, Phil Warner, ask me and my wife if we would take a man by the name of Jake Ligo. I lived up on the Mount Erickson's. That old place up there.
That house still there?
Yeah. There was two brothers. That was the old Clark place. Now, Bert Clark's father owned that place where Erickson's is. I think his name was Bill Clark.
That's why it was called Clark Hill Farm.
Yeah, Clark Hill Farm. And his brother owned the place up where I lived. That was another farm. And I can tell you an instance that happened. I didn't see it. But they talked about it, and I know all about it, and I don't believe anybody else knew it around Salisbury. They didn't speak. And they had a cow barn right close to the fence of Bert Clark's father down there, where Erickson's is now, close to the fence, the line. And when they cleaned the cow barn, they sold out of the back window, or drop it over the fence, over the line. I don't know if it was fence there, I imagine it was. Well, come fall or spring, Bert Clark's father took a couple teams of horses and goes right up there and draws it away. Put on his property. There was an awful commotion about it, but it was on his property.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I can remember hearing about that, you know. So that's the way that.
That was the only manure they had around then. I mean, it wasn't like going to Millerton and buying.
No, it didn't have fertilizer and stuff like that. And of course, Bert Clark's people had a farm too. They had their own manure, plus his brother, because they didn't speak. I think one was Bill. Bill Clark, and they had there was another fellow that lived with him. They used to call him Puzzle. And he would walk around with a bucksaw on his back, tied on his back, and he'd go around to different people with that bucksaw and saw wood for people. And they used to call him Puzzle Clark. Yeah. I can remember he wasn't only about this tall.
About 4.5 feet, little guy.
Yeah, little fella. And I remember the last time I seen him was at George Senior's. Do you remember George Senior?
No.
Well, you know where Echo Street is?
Yes, right under the hill down here.
Yeah, that come up. He lived there. And that's the last time I seen him, because he was I used to take that path as that time and go up there, because we lived up there then in my grandfather's house. He died and my father bought that place. And I remember him sawing up that wood with that bucksaw.
And he walked around most of the day with it on his back.
All of it.
From one job.
Well, one place to the other. And he'd saw.
He was working on firewood then.
Yeah. They didn't have no gasoline saws or anything like that them days. And but that was quite a chore, I guess. And I remember all that stuff.
Now, what did the landscape look like? You talked about open land. Can you tell me more about the whole area? What it seemed like? What was open then?
Well, this was all open land.
And Selick Hill was all open.
Yeah. This was all open farmland, and then there was a Mike Satori's father lived up here on the end of the road where you go up and just before you go in the woods again,
mm-hmm.
up there. There was a house in there.
This little road that runs right up past our house. Up.
Yeah, goes right straight through, up to the end. There was a house up there, and Mike Satori's father used to live there. And they used to work in the woods. There was probably five or six Italian fellas worked for him. And they chopped wood on the Mount Raggy side, cut that cordwood. And they used to take it and load it in boxcars. Well, they used to have, they used to burn charcoal too.
Mm-hmm.
They, all those places on the side of these mountains you see that's yellow, them yellow spots, is charcoal pit bottoms.
Yeah, I've picked a lot of those out, and I know where they are. And you can dig down and you can still find the charcoal.
It's charcoal. That was all coal pit bottoms.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to send charcoal, I don't know, probably New York, is the train run to Millerton. Whether they had a turntable in Millerton or whatever, I don't know. And but anyway, then they probably would send it to New Haven and all, because the train run's good.
So, what did it look like here? Were there fires smoking all the time?
You'd see very little smoke. Charcoal pit.
That was because of what they were doing was really drying out and taking the moisture out of the.
They were all sided in. They was built up in tiers, and that was all closed in, and just a little vent out of the top, and that laid right in there and charred. And once, and they used to have men at night. They'd have a little shanty. We called them, they called them shanties, which it was a shanty. It was nothing but a little bit of, and they stayed right in there. And they checked them charcoal pits, them burning, every hour. Because if they burned a hole out in the bottom, that would burn up their charcoal.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
As soon as they get enough air in there.
Yeah.
Okay. And all right, so that you could see the you saw very little smoke. The land was open. Well, how about fences and things? What kind of fences were there?
They right down here. When you cross the brook, you right down there. They had a stump fence. Well, they'd take Kima horses and pull out stumps and pile them up in between the fields to keep the cattle going through. And then they had wooden rail fences. They would take and the way you build a wooden rail fence, they'd put a, here's the fence, they'd put a stone there, stone here, flat stone, the length of the pole. They spread the rails like that, okay? And then they took a cross beams just like that and stuck them in the ground and put a rail on that, see? And then went up with it so that the fence would be this high, and they built. They had all wooden rail fences. Hmm. There wasn't much barbed wire as I know of.
So that the fence line itself was not even, but was
zigzag
because of the way that they gave greater strength that way, I guess.
Oh, yes. Well, you couldn't. That's the way that them, the cattle couldn't get through, couldn't lean, couldn't push it over. If they had something straight, I suppose it was, but I don't believe I ever, yes, they did have barbed wire, but it was something unusual. And they'd put one strand of wire. It was a different looking barbed wire than it is now. Now, I know a fellow that lives in Salisbury. I'm not going to mention any names because, Poppy, he don't want to have me. But his face is cut like this. And he's got a scar. Right on your land up here, on that place where I told you that house was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they had what you call a pig sticker. It was a sled. It was had two runners on it, and they cut a stick with a groove in the bottom of it, and then flattened the end, and they nailed it up here like that, and run it, that runner in the middle. And then they curled the back end, and then put a platform on there, and then put another partition here, and they used to make what they call rippers. And they used to slide on them. They'd take 10, 12 people. Used to start right up here and go down through here.
Right down Sellick Hill Road.
Boy, I'm telling you, they run off of that, run off there in Scribner's Bridge.
I'll bet they...
Once. Boy, they got hurt. I can remember the day they got hurt. Young fellas, kids. And, they had that, and one of those workmen that cut cordwood from Mike Satori's father, tell you who it is, Mike Satori's father, put Mike and his brother on this toboggan, and well, we had snow that high, and it was all across the whole team of horses right. Out.
3 feet of it. Huh?
Yeah, and you get a rain, it freeze, you know, whole team of horses up. And they put him on one of them pig stickers that come apart, you know, and put him on that. And they had a fence down there. Well, what to do? You get into that fence and it tore Mike's face all up. Mm. That's how poor Mike got that scar. Yep. Yeah, I can remember, because I asked Mike a couple of years ago about that. That's how it happened.
You never knew until a couple of years ago?
No, never knew for a couple of years ago. And Mike was an awful quiet fella when he went to school. He wouldn't, come down to the old white schoolhouse down there, which is on the end of Echo Street there, and he would stand on that porch and watch the other kids play, but he'd hardly ever get into it, you know, and very quiet. And in this, that was all open all down through there. I used to get up into here. I used to.
That's when this was owned by one of the Sellers.
Well, yeah. There was Jim Selleck, and there was Jim Selleck and. You see, I knew a few years back, but I have memories going now.
Oh, come on. Your memory's terrific.
Jim Selleck and Bert Selleck. It was owned by Jim Selleck. Bert Selleck is the one that lived up Factory Street, and he ran a grist mill right there. And George Selleck and Howard Selleck was his son. They went to college. I don't believe George went to college. Howard went to college, Yale. Yeah. Which they're both dead now. And and up here on the into your land back of Mike's, where Mike lived. That was all open. And they had a great big peach orchard.
Who had the peach orchard?
Satori's, Mike's father. I know, because we used to go up and steal peaches. And tell you the truth, so us kids would go up and we'd get in them trees and steal us a paper bag full of peaches or something, and that was a big peach orchard. Then down on that slant where your field is now, it was down like that, there was a great big boiling spring, and that water was just as cold as ice.
And that's the spring that feeds the brook that comes out near George Kiefer's now.
George Kiefer's, right? Yeah. Yeah. And and that road went right down, it come right down where Matt Marshall lived, right by his house. And it come right up through to there. And ended up into these edge of these fields. Yep.
How about I wonder, Steve, if you could tell me what one of your days was like. You know, from when you got up in the morning, say when you were, you know, anywhere when you were younger, when you're still in elementary school or something. What was family life like, you know? What time did you get up and...
Well, you'd have to...
Did an alarm clock go off?
No, my father. He worked on the farm. Like I told you, down to the Willard farm. And shortly after that, of course, we went to school in the White Schoolhouse, which is down by Echo Street. And there was a third, fourth, and fifth grade there, downstairs. And the sixth, seventh, and eighth grade was upstairs. There was two different schools in there. And from there, they went to high school down Lakeville.
Well, what was it like, just in the... getting up in the morning what did you have? Did you have breakfast early? Did you have a big breakfast?
We had cooked breakfast. My mother cooked breakfast. We'd have puppy. She always had pancakes or something. She had one of them long griddles. Uh-huh. I say there was Jesse, Earl, me, and Art, and Nettie. Four boys and a girl. And we'd have pancakes, and then for supper, she'd have boiled potatoes and things like that, which my father used to, if he didn't raise them, he used to buy about 30 bushel of potatoes and put them in the cellar.
So you'd have those all?
All winter. And then she would boil these potatoes, and they were great cooks. They'd have baked beans, potatoes, apple pies, and everything. That very good.
What other foods were preserved? You must have kept apples.
We had apples, had greenings, russets. Macintosh, Baldens, and like that which is, and the pig nose. That's what they call them, pig nose. They had them kept them for winter. Drilled some holes about that big around in a barrel. Had three or four barrels of apples, and had...
No, wait a minute. You drilled holes in the barrels. What were those for?
So the air, ventilation, you know, not to have them too tight.
Otherwise, they'd stay most of the winter in a cool cellar.
Oh, yes, it would. And we used to have just a dirt cellar. There wasn't cement cellars like they are now. Yeah, you'd have dirt cellars, and you'd have to watch them pretty close. We used to have a lot of rats different places them days.
And you could put up... Your family put up preserves?
Oh, my mother canned. My mother canned. Jesse and I would walk onto Mount Raggy, and we'd pick 12 quarts of blueberries of us. He'd take two of them, and I would. And we'd walk off of that mountain, and my mother would can them. And what she would do, she'd boil them and then put them in the cans and seal them, see? Glass can. Mm-hmm. And we'd have about 300 cans of canned stuff, 400 canned stuff, a lot of anything that you could can. Yeah, we lived, everybody lived good.
I was wondering, it always sounded so good to hear what someone had to do a lot of work to get that.
Oh, yes, yeah. The women worked, boy, I want to tell you. My mother weighed 111 pounds. She was a little woman. And she trained us boys. And, of course, Jesse and I, my oldest brother, and we would trap. get up in the morning, go look at them traps. And the muskrat probably pay 35, 40 cents. Mm-hmm. Used to sell them to Hiram Beebe over in Canaan. And a mink would probably pay $5. What we used to do is take the 6 o'clock train over to Canaan, and we'd come back on the 8. There wasn't no car, there wasn't, very few people had cars. Sam Woodbeck used to have a one lunger, and he would go down and get the, down to the station, get the mail and different things for the drugstore and for the post office. He'd bring up the mail bags, you know, and us kids, I remember Gene Doty. He used to always jump on the back of that thing. Sam didn't really want us to ride on it, but we did, and did. I remember Gene Doty, it would go pop, 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 pop. And Gene Doty, he got off between the town hall and the drugstore, and he jumped off backwards. And of course, it was off dirt road. Boy, he rolled just like a barrel. And it was a different looking country. You would you
probably wouldn't recognize it.
Oh no! I'll tell you this: you take a field, it goes up so fast. It goes up so fast. And right where I live now was a fairground, Salisbury Town Fair. Used to be right where I live now, and the baseball diamond.
Now, I thought there was also a baseball diamond down near Lakeville.
There, right? There was.
There was. Right along the river. Is that right? Or is that, are we talking about the same one?
There was a baseball diamond. They call it the Canes Field, and you know, when you cross that brook, you know where Park Silvernail was in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you cross that brook and go up that hill. And you know where the what you call it girls live. I'll tell you in a minute. Bob, what you call it, sisters, live in that house right there. That road went right on there, right by it, and down on a flat there. Mm-hmm. That was a Cane baseball diamond. The baseball diamond. Now it's a swamp.
Now who played baseball? Was there a town team?
Town team, yeah. Lakeville had a town team. Salisbury had a town team. All these small towns had a team.
And yeah. How often did they play? I mean,
every weekend. Every Sunday. They'd play Millerton, Sharon, Menia, Canaan, and all that, and pretty near every time there'd be a fight. I remember. Yeah.
You remember some of those?
Oh yes, they'd get a fighting, you know, or something happened. The umpire used to stand behind the pitcher, and if he called a ball wrong, boy, he better straighten things out. Yes, and. But not always was there a fight. You know,
were there a lot of people that attended?
And oh, yes. Yeah. There'd be
a couple hundred.
Yeah, be a lot of people. Be to them ball. Well, that was the only recreation that they had, is going to them ball games, and then going up to Barrington Fair when that opened up. Mm-hmm. They didn't have no fair, and well, they had a little kind of a fair and things going in Salisbury that they used to take and man would stick his head through a canvas and they'd have a softball.
Oh yeah, I've heard about those things.
Them Dodgers, they call them. I'm not going to, because it's for, they'd have some colored man.
Yeah.
He'd stick his head through that thing there, hit the colored man in the head and get a 5-cent cigar. Once in a while they'd hit him, he'd get in there and he'd shake his head just like that. Yeah. And then they used to take a pig of weigh about 50, 60 pound, and they'd grease him with pork grease. Mm-hmm. Then these people would all form a ring, and they'd let that pig loose in there, and he'd run around, he wouldn't know where to go. Maybe they had wire, low wire in there, I've kind of forget. And the one that caught the greased pig could keep it. And I remember, you remember Bert Clark?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bert Clark, boy, Bert knew what to do. He would run along right alongside of that pig just to run, and then he'd jump right into it and hit him with the shoulder and knock him over and grab him.